Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the SAF-Holland SE conference call regarding the Q1 2017 results. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to your host, Mr. Stefan Haas.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, also from my side. Thanks for attending our Q1 conference call. It is obviously a busy day for you guys. We will do it as follows. As you see, we've changed the format of the presentation a little bit, so it will be more concise. Mr. Burkhard will start and give you a short presentation on the business development, and Dr. Heiden, our new CFO, will then take over and will guide you through the financials. Afterwards, we will have a Q&A session as you're used to. Thank you, and I will hand over to Mr. Burkhard.
Yeah, Stefan, thanks a lot for your introduction. Also from my side, a warm welcome. Good morning to everybody to our presentation Q1 2017. As Stefan said, we believe you are quite busy today, so therefore I would like to jump into the presentation right away. I will do the first part, starting with the agenda on page number two. I will talk about the business summary first quarter this year and do a market update, and then Matthias will take over the financials, and then later on I will talk a little bit about the forecast and our outlook. With this, on page number four, you see the business summary for the first quarter. There are a couple of bullet points. Number one is, of course, top line. We reported now a solid organic top line growth in, I would say, continuously challenging markets, especially the weak truck and trailer markets in North America. Of course, I will come to that later more in detail. Second one is about the profitability. We can report a solid top line growth of 10.5% to 287.3 million euros compared with almost 260 million last year in the first quarter. Thereof, to be more precise, organic growth came in with +7.6%. FX gains or FX effects was +1.9%, and first time we consolidated the first quarter 2017, now also the sales and profits from KLL, our latest acquisition in Brazil, which contributed with +1%. On the third bullet point, the adjusted EBIT amounted to 25.1 million compared with 22.7 million last year and exceeded therefore our last year or prior year's figures by 10.6%, which is, from our point of view, a very nice increase. The adjusted EBIT margin remained solid at 8.7%, and this is absolutely within our target for the full year 2017, coming in somewhere between 8%-9%. Again, also on this, I would like to talk later on more in detail. Our earnings per share came in with 0.26 compared with 0.25 last year, and the adjusted basic earnings per share amounted to 0.32. Our plant consolidation in the U.S. is in progress, and in the first quarter this year, we booked restructuring expenses to up to 1.2 million euros, and that is as planned. Our implementation of our production consolidation in Brazil is also on the way. We successfully closed our factory in Jaguariúna, which is close to São Paulo, end of March, and we moved all the equipment down to the south to Alvorada, where KLL is located, and therefore our factory in Jaguariúna is history now. Last but not least, we successfully started our new production, brand new production in Turkey, in Düzce, and also we'll talk about that later on when we talk about the European markets. Yeah, with this market update, this is, of course, very important. We changed a little bit the order of slides, and I would like to talk about the net orders for North America first. As you can see on this slide number six, and here you see the trailer net orders compared month by month, 2015, 2016, and 2017. What is really nice to see that in all three months in the first quarter, you see quite higher order intakes than the year before. If you sum the months up January to March, you will see that in the first quarter, we saw almost 50% higher order intakes for heavy-duty trailers in North America than in the first quarter 2016. So this is, of course, a very nice signal, but I need to take, or we need to take into consideration, and this is about the sentence further down, the trailer market in the first quarter saw a drop in production by about 11%. And please have in mind that also already last year the trailer market dropped by 7% in North America. So another 11%. So this gives you probably a very good indication why the first quarter this year was challenging in North America. But anyhow, order intake goes in the right direction, and we will benefit from that later this year. And also I need to remind you, but I come to that later on, that for the forecast for the full year 2017, it's still somewhere between minus 9% for the North American trailer market. On the next page, page 7, we see the same slide, but this is now for the truck market, and truck market is always class 8, the market where we are in. Also here, you see pretty much the same picture than on the trailer side, not that high, but also here every month this year in the first 3 months was higher in terms of order intake or net orders than in the previous year, and this also shows the market goes in the right direction. But also here, to drop some water into the wine, we saw in the first quarter this year 21% less truck production in North America, and so also this is a very clear hint that the first quarter was challenging for everybody in the market. And also here, please have in mind that last year the Class 8 truck market dropped by almost 29 or almost 30%, so this was another sharp decline. And the forecast for the full year 2017 is also still negative, is somewhere between -5% and -6%. So on the next page, page 8, you see now the heavy truck market in Europe. Here we see new registration. So this is not the order intake, but also here, very nice picture. Another increase in total Europe by 4.8% in the first 3 months this year, and especially the markets in South Europe, like Italy, Portugal, Spain, see still a double-digit growth. Italy with a very strong, almost 44% increase in new registrations. France, another plus 5%. Germany, strong, plus 5%. So overall, the markets are still very healthy. In 2016, just to remind you, we saw an increase by 2.8% in Europe for heavy trucks, and the forecast for 2017 is another plus 3%. Personally, I would challenge it. I believe it will be not that high, but anyhow, it goes in the right direction. Now, coming on the next page, just talking about the financials. On page number 10, you see the overview of the group sales and our earnings on the left-hand side, and I would like to start with the sales development. We are glad that we can report a very strong Q1 this year. 287.3 million sales in the first 3 months, which is a 10.5% increase year over year. Most of that came from organic growth, 7.6%, and after 4% in Q4 2016, so we are clearly on a growth path. I'm very happy to tell you that this quarter, Q1, was the second best ever in the company's history, but the month of March, that was the best month ever in the company's history. March came in with 107.3 million euros in sales. We never saw this before, and this has some benefits, but also some disadvantages, but Matthias will talk about that later on, more in detail to tell you or to explain in a very transparent way what does it mean in terms of net working capital. And so there's also a little bit negative on this. But anyhow, 107.3 million euro for the best month ever in March. Coming to the EBIT side, on the right side of this chart, you see Q1 with 25.1 million euros in EBIT. respectively 8.7%. So although this was a very good quarter, it was the third best ever in profitability. You see the other two very good quarters on this chart. The second best quarter was Q2 last year in 2016 with 26.3 million. And the best quarter ever so far in terms of adjusted EBIT was Q2 in 2015 with 26.9 million euros. Yeah, on the next page, number 11, you will see the sales split by sales channel and region. First of all, the OE business came in first quarter this year with 216.2 million, which is a 10.2% higher than last year in the first 3 months. And also the aftermarket, we saw a very nice growth to 71.1 million euros. This shows an 11.4% increase compared with last year. The three regions, all of them contributed to the growth in the first quarter this year, but I will talk about this more in detail on the next three pages. Overall, you can see all our businesses in all regions have been part of the growth in the first quarter of this year. On the next page, which is page number 12, I would like to talk about EMEAE, so Europe, Middle East, Africa, and India. The headline here is solid organic growth. As a summary, sales growth by 10.4% to 160.3 million. On a currency adjusted basis, it was exactly 10% year over year. As we said, Southern Europe is strong, especially Italy and Spain, but also Eastern countries, European countries coming back and contribute to that. Poland is still strong, and this also helped a lot to increase sales. Aftermarket performance was very solid, and we believe we still gained some market share in the Western, especially Western European trailer market. Truck market was also solid. Turkey, the Turkish market is still very weak. We believe something between -50% to -60% compared with last year. But nevertheless, as an anti-cyclical move, we opened our new factory in Turkey, which is located in Düzce, right between Ankara and Istanbul. We had a a great opening ceremony end of March with hundreds of customers, and that was very well received by the local people there. And we started operation now, and we are running in a one-shift mode now in this new operation. The profitability, the adjusted EBIT, came very nicely in with 10.3% or 16.5 million euros compared with 9.5% last year, which is an extremely nice increase. So we see a double-digit EBIT now also in Europe in the first quarter. And where does it come from? And you see it on the last bullet point. These are the effects from our plant consolidation in 2015, successfully done, and some nice orders we received outside from Europe. Product mix was good, and so we had nice utilization of our plants. So all that helped to improve our margin development. Yeah, on the next page, page 213, you see our performance in the Americas. It means North America, Central, and South America, headed by Stefan Silvera. As I said already in the beginning, we had a challenging first quarter. Class 8 truck production shrinked by 21%, trailer shrinked by 11%, but having this in mind, we have been able to grow our sales by 8.2% to 108 million. Most of this came from positive currency effects with 4.1 million and also some contribution from KLL, our acquisition in Brazil, with 2.6 million. But organic sales, and I would like to point that out, grew by 1.6%. And again, have a look to the first bullet point. With the further drop in the market, this is, from our point of view, a very good result. Also, here's a question, where does it come from? Why are we able to outperform the market? This is by market share gains or further market share gains, some structural growth effects. We won some very nice new orders. And as we reported already in the last couple of quarters, our strategy, higher content per vehicle, especially with our products like the CBX40, that pays off, and that was part of the wins we did in the first quarter and have been able to outperform our dear competitors. On the EBIT side, adjusted EBIT reached 7.7 million compared with 8.3 last year in the first quarter 2016. The adjusted EBIT margin, and I would like to draw your attention on this, is now at 7.1%. And yes, it's lower than the Q1 last year, but even more important from my point of view is that we turned the tide here. And if you remember, Q4 last year came in with 6.2% only, which was quite disappointing, but there are some good reasons for that. And now with 7.1, that is a much better development or much better result. The margin was still burdened by some overall insufficient capacity utilization. Of course, if the market drops that much, as I reported earlier, then you have problems to utilize your factories in the right way. The product mix was not the best one, especially in the aftermarket. We saw slight increase in the aftermarket this year in the first 3 months, but the mix was not that good, a lot of standardized products. And, of course, Brazil is still negative, and that did not help. We had, and I need to say that, some inefficiency in our production. Why is that? Because of our running plant consolidation. And please bear in mind that if you touch almost all your plants, we touched now 5 plants in North America doing the plant consolidation, you need to move people, you need to move equipment. That, of course, creates some inefficiency. We saw that also in 2015 when we did it in Germany. But this is more or less, yeah, was clear that this will come, but that do not help in, of course, in the profitability. But overall, as I said, with 7.1% compared to 6.2% last quarter, I'm quite happy. Restructuring costs came in the first quarter with 2.4 million euros, and that is also as planned. Yeah, next page is APAC China. Also here you see a nice sales increase of 27.6% to 8.5 million. On a currency adjusted basis, it was 26.2%. Key driver is the growing business in the trailer market. The Chinese trailer market and truck market is on a very high level. This is driven by the implementation in September last year of the GB1589 standards, which regulated now the maximum weight and dimension of trucks and trailers. And if you do not meet with your truck and trailer combination this standard, for example, in terms of weight, if your combination is heavier than 49 tons, in the past it was 56 tons, then you're not allowed to use the highway or the motorways in China anymore. Of course, this is a big disadvantage for the fleets, so therefore they need, if they can, they need to invest in new equipment, new trucks, new trailers, and that's what we see right now, and that helped extremely to have a very nice production in Xiamen, in the facility where we do trailer products. I'm still absolutely not satisfied with COPCO, our bus suspension factory in Baotou, in Inner Mongolia. We are working on that. That will come better, that will become better, but in the first quarter, and that will continue in the next quarters, COPCO is not really helping in terms of sales and profitability. With this, overall profitability in China is much better now than compared with last year. Came in with 5% or 0.9 million euros in adjusted EBIT. And so we see already a nice increase here. Of course, profitability in China is burdened by some extra investments in the organization structure, having new people in all different areas and functions. But this is absolutely needed. We need to fulfill or would like to fulfill our targets according to our strategy 2020. And most of you know that this is part of this growth will come from China. And this will only come if we invest accordingly. So with this, I am done with my part of presentation. I will come later on after Matthias will guide you through the financials in detail.
Yes, thank you, Detlef, and good morning and a very warm welcome also from my side. It's a pleasure to be with you in a more active role for the first time and at the same time be able to report positive company results. I will now take you through some more details of the P&L and the balance sheet, and we will begin by looking at page 15, the group gross profit. Group gross profit increased by 7.5% in the first 3 months to 57.2 million compared to 53.2 million in the previous year. The slightly lower increase in gross profit compared to the rise in sales caused gross margin to decline 60 basis points to 19.9% compared to 20.5% in the previous year. However, this decline resulted exclusively from the already mentioned restructuring costs totaling 2.7 million euro that we incurred in the first quarter of the year. In the previous year, they amounted to 0.3 million. We recognized the majority of the restructuring cost in cost of sales. Most of our restructuring costs, just to explain it one more time, the 2.1 million, consisted of relocation costs, asset impairments, and severance payments attributable to the planned consolidation in North America that Detlef just described. On the right-hand side of the same slide, our margin analysis depicts further influencing factors at gross profit level, and while we continue to benefit from operating efficiencies, especially on the sourcing side, and an increased volume, the product mix was neither favorable on the OE side nor in the aftermarket. Additionally, rising steel prices in Europe and China had a negative impact. Nonetheless, it is important to note that excluding our one-time restructuring costs in the US on an operating level, the group's gross margin in the first quarter of 2017 would have improved by 10 basis points to 20.6% compared to the 20.5% in the previous year. If we now move from gross profit to our adjusted EBIT, we can take a look at slide 16. Adjusted EBIT exceeded the prior year's figures by 10.6%, outpacing organic sales growth. Adjusted EBIT margin, as stated, remained stable at 8.7%. Thus, we were once again achieving the solid level of the previous year adjusted EBIT margin, now supported by the effects of restructuring the plant network in Europe, the bundling of purchasing activities, and our other measures to raise efficiencies at group level. With our Q1 adjusted EBIT margin, we are staying within the range of 8 to 9% targeted for the full year of 2017, and we also communicated that to you and are confirming that again for today at the end of this presentation. As usual, let's now take a quick look at the adjustments themselves. We again see the restructuring costs of 2.7 million and the purchase price allocation effects that always is the depreciation and amortization from the PPA, this time amounting to 1.4 million. And taking the adjusted EBIT to 25.1 million compared to 22.7 million in the previous period. After looking at this reconciliation from EBIT to adjusted EBIT, I would now like to spend a moment on the bridge from EBIT to net income. The slightly higher EBIT combined with an improved finance result led to an increase in the result before taxes of 5%. Now amounting to 16.7 million euro compared to 15.9 million euro in the previous year. The improvement in the finance result was mainly due to lower net finance expenses arising from financial derivatives that we had put in place related to our promissory note issuance from November 2015. The group's tax rate increased to 32.7%. compared to 30.1% in 2016 because of higher earnings contributions from subsidiaries with higher income tax rates. As a result, the group's result for the period in the first quarter increased at a lower percentage rate than pre-tax profit and came in at 11.3 million compared to 11.1 million in the previous year. Finally, a quick look at earnings per share before taking a look at net working capital. Based on our unchanged number of 45.4 million shares outstanding, basic earnings per share rose to 26 euro cent compared to 25 euro cent in Q1 2016. Adjusted basic earnings per share increased to 32 euro cent compared to 27 euro cent in the previous period. Now, leaving the P&L, moving on to the balance sheet and net working capital. Overall, inventories increased to 145.7 million euro compared to 131 million at the end of 2016. In addition to the usual seasonal effects, this rise was also due to the opening of the new plant in Turkey that Detlef touched on at the end of March 2017 and the plant consolidation underway in North America, both of which required a temporary increase in inventories. A single-digit euro amount was accounted for the higher inventory in North America alone. DOI, our days of inventory, decreased by 1 day to 57 days from 58 days at the end of 2016. When we now look at net working capital, we can see that the increase was particularly related to the increase in our trade receivables, which significantly exceeded the corresponding buildup of our trade payables. As of the end of the quarter, March 31, our net working capital ratio had increased in comparison to year-end, when it was at 11.1%, now to 12.6%. Again, also this ratio stays within the planned range for the outlook for the full year of 12 to 13%. Let's have a closer look at this net working capital development and the origins of increasing trade receivables. While we do not want to start disclosing monthly revenue figures on a regular basis, we feel that today this is more than appropriate to explain the movement in net working capital and the trade receivables, and Detlef had already started commenting on that when he opened up. As you can see, the second half of Q1 contributed to a significantly larger extent to quarterly sales than January, and I will add the first half of February, driven also by 3 more working days when compared to the same period in the previous year. Specifically, March produced approximately 20 million higher sales contribution than January. Most of these sales, however, have not yet produced or had not yet produced an inflow of cash as of March 31, i.e. our quarter end, given their standard payment due dates. Please note that we will have less working days in the second quarter, for example, and to put it very simply, due to the Easter holidays, and thus a different impact in the second quarter. Following on from this, net working capital developments also impacted free cash flow. Due to its rise, free cash flow in Q1 2017 came in at minus 15.6 million euro compared to a positive 13 million euro in the first quarter of 2016. However, free cash flow is expected to improve noticeably in the coming quarters with a targeted reduction in the buildup of working capital. We still stick to our comments made in this regard at the annual press conference and believe that free cash flow for the full year will end up to be around 40 million euro from today's point of view. Before passing it back to Detlef, allow me a few quick comments on our capital structure on page 23. Net debt, shown on the left side of the slide, taking into account cash and cash equivalents and other short-term investments, was up slightly. Equity rose by 10.3 million in absolute terms to 315.9 million euro, while the equity ratio came in marginally lower at 30% compared to 30.1% at the end of 2016. Please be reminded that when evaluating our equity ratio, it is important to take into account that such balance sheet ratios are currently characterized by us maintaining a high liquidity for any acquisitions and investments planned as part of the execution of our company strategy 2020. And with that, Detlef, back to you.
Yeah, Matthias, thanks a lot. I would like to talk about, for a couple of minutes, about the markets. What are the forecasts for the year 2017? And most of you are very familiar with this slide number 25. These are the numbers from end of March, published by the available companies like ACT, FTR, LMC, etc. I'm going to guide you through this, starting with the trailer markets in North America and Europe. And as you can see on the far right side, these are the, by far the most important markets for us. 20% of our total sales in the group are related to the North American trailer market, and 40%, so the biggest share, is related to the European trailer markets. What is the outlook? I talked about that earlier in this presentation. It's still negative for both markets. North America, ACT is talking about a minus 6.1%. FDR, even more negative, minus 9%. We just saw a couple of days ago the numbers for April, which are better. So it is increasing to the better side. And if you might remember, end of last year when we started 2017, the outlook for the North American trailer market was minus 16%. So we see now month over month an improvement, and the order intake numbers I showed in the first or second slide, they are going to support this way. The Western and Eastern European markets, trailer production was last year 6% up, and now the forecast from Clear, the company who is doing that for Europe, is a minus 2.5%. We don't know, to be very straightforward. As you know, our visibility is not that long. It's only 6 weeks, plus minus. So we really don't know what will happen around summertime and after the summer break in July, August. Personally, I believe the trailer market, or there is a high chance that the trailer market will not shrink this year in Europe, as indicated here. But again, we don't know, and we need to take into consideration, if you look to the trailer production, 14, 15, 16, and now 17, coming from 261,000, 279, 297, 290, these are extremely high numbers. Please bear in mind, the average is 220, maybe 225,000 trailers in a year, so we see now the fourth year in a row. A nice increase, very stable, and so this will not go on forever. So if we see a decline end of this year, again, we don't know, but the official available number is minus 2.5%. Coming to the global truck markets, North America Class 8 on the first lines, ACT end of March said minus 4.8%, FDR is predicting a minus 6.2%. Also here, indications are that will improve over the course of the year because the order intake, the actual order intake is supporting that as well, the same than on the trailer side. On the Western and Eastern European truck market, LMC predicts a plus 3.1%. As I said earlier, I would doubt that. I see a slight decline here. But again, this is also too early. Anyhow, as you can see on the right-hand side, the European truck market is, for us, is important as an indicator, but regarding sales, it's only 4% of our total sales is in the European truck market. The other markets, which are not mentioned here on this page, I would like to talk about this also for a second. Russia, as I indicated already in our last call, We see a nice, or let me see, a slight increase. So it's turning into the right side. It's getting better now. Aftermarket is still strong in Russia, as it had been all the, let's say, 1.5, 2 years. But also on the OE side, we see a slight pickup, but coming from a very low level. Iran, we talked about Iran also quite a lot in the last couple of quarters. We see also some signs of improvement. Also here, it's too early, but it could be that Iran later this year also will contribute to a good trailer market in the European region, if we say Iran is part of Europe. Brazil, this is still very difficult. We see a slight increase in truck orders on the Brazilian market, but coming from almost nothing. So if there is a 10 or 15% increase, this is nice. It goes in the right direction, but that does not really help. On the trailer side, which is even much more important for us, because we are very active, we had been very active on the trailer side, this is still very quiet, and we see almost no changes here to the better in the South American, especially Brazilian market. So overall, as you can see, it is challenging. It's not so easy. It's getting better. It looks like getting better, but you see a lot of minus here on the right-hand side. But as we have shown in the Q1 numbers now, we are able to, to outpace the market. And overall, we look forward for the balance of the year. With this, coming to our forecast on the last page, page 26, we would like to confirm our outlook for the full year 2017, coming in sales coming in between 1.06 billion and 1.09 billion euros in sales. Of course, assuming that FX rates are stable and we have an unchanged scope of consolidation. And on the profitability, we expect adjusted EBIT margin to come in between 8 and 9%. And from today's standpoint, we're not going to change this forecast. We're tending that towards the midpoint of this range. Net working capital, Matthias talked about that in length, should come in between 12 and 13%. We are here on track. And CapEx should somewhere around 30 million. That means between 28 and 31 million. Slightly higher than last year, but that, of course, you need to see it in light of our strategy 2020, where we need slightly higher CapEx. With this, I'm at the end of our today's presentation, and I would like to hand back to Stefan.
Yes, so the floor is now open for questions and answers, so please press the button.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9 and star on your telephone keypad. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press 9 and star again. The first question comes from Sascha Gommel. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I've got three. First of all, on the cost savings in North America, how should we think about the phasing of the cost savings that will result out of the plant restructuring, i.e. what part of the cost savings will come in 17, 18, 19? I remember you said mid-single digit. Can you be more specific by now, or should we just assume like around about 5 million? The second question would be on your outperformance, especially in North America and Europe. Where is that coming from? Is that from products? Is that from market share gains? And if so, who's losing market share that much? And then last but not least, my typical question, you have a lot of cash on the balance sheet. That looks a bit inefficient. Maybe you can update us on your plans to spend this cash.
Okay, good morning, Mr. Gommel. Thanks for your question. I tried to answer this. Cost savings in North America, as we said, and you're absolutely right, we target somewhere around 5 million euros in savings out of the plant consolidation. This we will not see this year, okay? This is something we will see in 2018. starting slowly in the first quarter, 18, and then really kicking in later this year. That is, yeah, as we said, absolute target. I don't see any change. I hope that we don't have any delays in the plant consolidation. And just give you some more light on this. We have some challenges in finding people. That means finding workers in the new plants, or let's say in the plants where we are going to increase production. This is not so easy. The unemployment rate in U.S. is quite low. And so therefore, we don't see a delay, but it might cause a delay. But anyhow, we are still very confident that at the end of the year, the plant concentration is done on the operation side. Please bear in mind that we are going to move the headquarters later this year, at the end of the year, beginning 2018, but this has nothing to do with operation. But also this is quite a challenge to move all the engineers, etc., from Holland to Muskegon. So overall, to answer your question, 5 million in savings. That's what we see, but not for this year. It will come in 18, and then you can calculate with this. Second question was about the outperformance in North America and Europe. You mentioned product, market share gains, etc. Yeah, it's all of it. It's a mixture. It's a mixed bag. It's mainly because of our products. In North America, we launched 3-4 really good products in the last year, quarter by quarter, talking about the P89, our new disc brake wheel end, which is now more cost efficient for the fleets. Their return on invest came in higher, so therefore they are more prepared to invest in this. This brake is still more expensive than a drum brake trailer, but as I said, return on invest coming in better now, and therefore this is a good package for the fleets, and therefore we get orders on that. That in combination with our CBX40, which is a new type of air suspension, that is pretty much in favor for the fleets. We just launched in the last quarter last year the AeroBeam, which is also a new type of air suspension, the lightest in the North American market, even lighter than the Hendrickson product range. And also this helps. On the fifth wheel side, we launched second half of last year the E-Light. This is an electronic lock indicator, which also helps in terms of safety for the North American truck drivers. All this shows that we are, with our products, at least on the same range, I would say even better than our dear competitors, and that also helps in market share gains. Who is losing that? We cannot report on this right now. We need to do this. We will do that later this year, see where we are in terms of market shares, but I'm still confident that in all areas we are winning market share. In Europe...
Just a quick follow-up on that. Is it that you win market share in niche segments, or is it like the mass segment, more or less?
It's both. Both.
Yeah, it's both. Good. Thanks.
Period. in Europe, it's a mixture. I would say especially the products which we do in Europe on the trailer side are considered really as bulletproof. Our service network in Europe helps a lot. Fleets know that if they spec our products, our axle suspensions, in case of any problems, they know that we will help them, that we are going to support. This is now very well known. We do a lot of marketing activities in this regards, and this pays off. On new products, there are not so many in Europe. For example, we launched last year at the IAA the SAF Track, which is the first driven axles for SAF Holland. I would say the first one in the market. You have seen that in Hanover by yourself. This is a clear niche, okay, and this will we will ramp up production end of this year, early next year, so that does not contribute, and this is really a clear niche. But again, that helped in fleets recognizing SAF Holland as the partner for their needs, and we see that. So that helps also our, our pricing is favorable. We have been able to compensate almost steel price increases in Europe with good negotiation with our suppliers. That, by the way, was not so successful in North America. That is part of our not so great EBIT contribution which we see in North America compared with Europe. In North America, we are still burdened by increasing steel prices. We thought last year we are done with this. We passed on all the steel price increases last year to our customers, but unfortunately, steel price is still increasing in North America, and now we go through the next round to pass on these price increases, and as you know, we can do it, and we will do it, but it takes time. So overall, I would say in North America and Europe, and also in China, we are doing good, and customers really see us as the market leader in most of the products we do, or one of the market leaders, to be precise. Your third question was about cash or cash on the balance sheet. Yeah, there's quite a lot. It's still there. And we still have the plan to use it in the favor of our shareholders, okay, in the best interest of our shareholders. And we are working on that, management team especially. And we have still some targets to talk about, but not today. Okay, so it's quite too early to say anything about this. But be assured, we will spend the money wisely.
Okay, then just a small follow-up. Next year, your bond will mature. If you're not finding any target until then, would you consider paying it back with cash and then potentially doing a refinancing if you find a target? Or would you refinance the bond this year or next year in order to keep that high level of cash?
I would say let's go on the next couple of quarters, and then we will see. It's too early to talk about that now. We know that is very clearly on our radar screen. This is a to-do, but how should I say? We are in a very good position, okay, to solve this, not this issue, this homework, this task. And we will see. We will do what is needed, what we need to do. But first of all, again, and I repeat myself, the main target is to use the money for merger and acquisitions, as we said, because this is absolutely according to our strategy 2020 and not to pay back the bond. But again, we are flexible on this. Give us some time, and then we will let you know on time.
Yeah. Right. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
If I may just add, Mr. Gommel, you perfectly described the decision tree for the bond maturity already. Of course, both scenarios will be analyzed, but I think at the end of the day, this is about spending the money wisely, and whether the bond then becomes part of an overall acquisition financing and we refinance it, or whether we pay it, rest assured, money will be spent wisely, as Detlef just described.
Okay, so for the next question comes from Philippe Lorrain. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Philippe Lorrain from Berenberg here. Just a couple of questions also from my side. I would start just very easily with the calendar effects. I mean, you mentioned that you had like two or three more working days actually in Q1 compared to Q1 last year. I just wanted to know if that applies to all the regions or if you had different effects in the different regions. That would be the first question.
Okay, bonjour, Monsieur Lorrain. Calendar effects, okay, Matthias talked about that. That is, of course, mainly due to in all the regions where we have, the Christian, is that the right wording? I don't know. That applies not partly also in China, because 1st of May, for example, is also a very important day in China. Everybody is off for a long weekend or was off on a long weekend. But it's mainly in Europe, of course, with the European plants and also with our customers, and partly in North America. I'm not sure about this really, and also partly in China. But the main effect, of course, is Europe.
Okay, thank you very much. And then I had a further question actually regarding your good market conditions, so to say, in China, where you mentioned that there are some regulations limiting the weight of combined truck and trailers. How is your view on these positive factors or supportive factors going forward? How long will it last and boost the demand for your products in the region? Is it something you can share a view with us?
Yeah, How long will it last? This is a very good question. If I would know it, that I would be very happy, because I don't know it. I was last week in China, the whole week, from Monday to Friday, traveled quite a lot in the country, talked to a lot of people, and what I hear is everybody is, especially in the truck and trailer market, not that much in the bus market, but truck and trailer is smiling. Everybody is in a good mood. Everybody is extremely busy, but for how long? Really, nobody was able to tell me. I asked everybody, okay, is that for the next 4 weeks, for the next 4 months, or for the next 4 years? And everybody said, I don't know. But this, as a matter of fact, the fleet, the trucks and trailers in China are too old, too heavy, too long, too wide, too whatever, but especially too heavy. And sooner or later, the fleets, regardless of the new regulations, this GB1589, the fleets need, that's my personal, I'm very convinced about, the fleet need to invest in new equipment, because otherwise they are not competitive. And the weight difference, which is now as standard, is quite significant. It is not just a few kilograms. We are talking about 7 to 8 tons. So that means the trucks and trailers, they need lighter components, they need air suspensions, and there's another regulation to come in China, the GB72, blah, blah, blah. I don't know really the number, but another important. This is a new regulation which might come in autumn this year. I heard about September, October, which will regulate that all trailers who transport dangerous or hazardous goods like fuel tankers, chemical tankers, silos, etc., they need to have air suspension and they need to have disc brake. I don't know any other market in the world where this is mandatory. The Chinese are going to do that. That's what we hear. And that goes, of course, absolutely in our direction. We are the market leader globally in trailer axles with disc brakes. Nobody else is doing that many trailer axles with disc. And on air suspension, I would say we are probably also technical-wise number one, or one of the best ones in the global trailer market. So if this will come, that will help. We are already ramping up production in China in our facility in Xiamen. Especially for this product, that means trailer axles to be delivered with disc brakes. So far we do it out of Europe or our German plants, and also with air suspensions. And here we will have a mix with air suspensions from China, from Europe, our module suspension, or from US, that is our GB25. Which is a very nice product in North America, very successful. So, and we have really the big advantage as an international player that we can choose for China the right product for the right application, and we can have a mix out of European and US products. I believe nobody else is able to do that because we are really the only global player. So, to make a long story short, that all helps, especially for all the trailer production in Xiamen. How long that will last, I don't know. Personally, I will see that very positive, and that will help to increase our sales in China on the long run. Nevertheless, China is always challenging because pricing is an issue. This is, to make money in China is difficult, and that you can see in our numbers. But it is part of our strategy, and all what I just said will help, and that goes absolutely in the direction where, as we planned. I hope that answers your question.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you very much. It's good that you mentioned actually the air suspensions, disc brakes, because that links directly to my third question, which was you mentioned basically the higher content per vehicle in the Americas during the call earlier, and I wanted to ask if that was just directly linked to the fact that you combine now more axles together with suspension and brakes, and that you sell these complete solutions to customers instead of just selling loose axles, so to say, and if it's also probably helping you then to boost your volumes in the region.
Yes. The answer is yes.
Okay, thank you very much. And just a follow-up on this one. I mean, the disc brakes historically had not been very performing very well in North America. If we remember the fact that players have been trying to introduce that kind of solutions in the 90s, but then it moved back to drum brakes. Do you see here now higher chances structurally that there would be a higher uptake for this kind of products? And also, could you share with us how is the product mix that you have, for instance, in this particular region between drum and disc brakes as of the latest development?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The success of disc brakes in North America is an interesting story. Okay, already earlier than in Europe, the Americans tried to introduce a disc brake for trucks and trailers. They failed miserably, mainly due to quality problems. All the systems have been destroyed within months, and therefore the American truck and trailer industry said, okay, that's not a product for us, let's use a drum brake that works forever, and that's the best system, because we cannot do any mistakes. So now, that's now 20 years ago, okay? What we have now is a huge experience out of Europe. We started as SAF Holland with the introduction of disc brakes in the 1998 and 1999. Yeah, I joined the company in 2000. So, and since then, we developed together with especially the disc brake suppliers like Knorr-Bremse, Wabco, etc., Haldex, etc. We developed much better systems, much more reliable. The disc brake systems which are available now, you cannot compare with the systems which have been available 20 years ago. The much better products, as I said earlier, with our air suspension seen as bulletproof, part of that is the wheel end, and the wheel end, of course, part of this is the disc brake. That is not only the caliper, it's only also the disc, it's the bearings, it's the whole wheel end as a complete system, and this works much better now. So it's not so... was heißt empfindlich? Sensitive, yeah, thank you very much. So, and it works now. That's the one first reason. Second reason is now we see that both trucks and trailers are running with disc brake, and you need to have a balance between the two vehicles, otherwise only one part, either the truck or either the trailer, whichever had the disc brake, is doing all the brake force, and the drum brakes are not really necessary anymore. So that's not good, because then you have a high wear and tear on the disc brake on one of the two systems. Therefore, if you have a balance between the two vehicles, if the vehicle has a proper ABS and EBS equipment, then the braking performance is much better, and the systems can survive much longer. And the third point is, and this is probably one of the most important ones, that's the price point. In the past, disc brake was extremely expensive in North America due to the low volume. And as I mentioned, with our new P89, which is designed, for lower costs, we meet now the price. We believe we meet now the price point where the fleets are able, or let's say the fleets are prepared to pay a premium, and it's still pay a premium. But they see the benefit after 3.5, 4, 5 years, depending on the utilization and on the application. So all these three things helps now that people are, the fleets in North America are much more confident that the disc brake is the better solution. And we have the proof out of Europe, 70-75% of the trailers in Europe are now with disc brake, 100% of all trucks are with disc brake. You asked about our product mix. That was the second part of your question. We have still somewhere between 5 and 10% of our production in North America is with disc brake. And our target is to increase that to 30-35% in the next coming years, as our target is to grow our market share to 30-35%, which is right now around 20-22%. So, and the disc brake penetration will help, of course, to increase our overall market share.
Okay, thank you very much. So I understand that actually all the years you have in terms of experience in Europe with these disc brakes are actually helping you in the NAFTA region going forward.
Yes, that is true. And by the way, just to add this, we are the only one who can do that. All our competitors in North America have no exposure in Europe. And so this know-how, which we gained now in the last
17 years is extremely, how to say, valuable. Nobody else has it.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, thank you. Then I had a broad question on the trader market in Europe, actually. You were mentioning that the historical average was turning about 220,000 to 225,000 units a year. Just wanted to know what kind of volumes you are penciling in your 2020 guidance in order to reach your target of 1.25 billion without acquisitions?
Yeah, that's a good question. Our numbers for 2020 are based on normal markets all over the world, okay? And that is for Europe something around the 220,000 to 230,000 trailer per year.
Okay, thank you very much. And then last question, I promise. It's more about, let's say, the overall trends in the industry. I mean, there is a structural trend towards autonomous vehicles, also towards autonomous trucks. Is there an interest of, let's say, other companies in the sector to perhaps partnering with you on different offerings or on the combination of different offerings in order to become, let's say, a bigger player in the field of autonomous trucks? Or is it something that you are also thinking about and that you would approach some of your peers here in the sector in order to, let's say, develop a more successful powerhouse in that regard?
Yeah, this is also very good question. Yeah, in these days, and I believe I said that already at our last call when we presented our 2016 numbers, in these days, almost everybody is talking to everybody. That is really, really fascinating, the big players with the small ones and also the medium-sized ones, because everybody would like to know who is going to position how and where. And what is absolutely necessary is to combine the mechanics. And that's what we do, okay? Trailer axles, suspensions, fifth wheels, brakes, etc., to make this product, this systems intelligent. That means you need to put sensors on that. You can get tons out of data out of this to preactive maintenance, etc., regarding safety. And if it is autonomous driving, you need to control this products very efficient and not by a human being but by a computer. So therefore, you need to make this all these components intelligent, and we are working on this by ourselves. We invested in that. We hired additional people on this. We have some interesting projects running. This is nothing to come for this year, probably also not for next year, but on the long run, 19, 20 and further on, we see a change in the market, and the products will change. The products will get intelligent. So we are working on ourselves, but we are also thinking about partnering. Of course, I cannot talk about this here in the public, but yes, I believe we are a preferred partner here because we have all this know-how, as I mentioned before, for example, regarding the disc brakes. And there are only very, very few people on this planet who have this know-how. So this is interesting times, I would say.
Okay, thank you very much. And I guess that having a CFO coming from SAP might help you also at some point to find new partners, especially when it comes to speaking about digitalization.
Your understanding is correct, Philippe. It is an integral part of my role to support the development and execution of the company's digital strategy. In fact, Detlef has asked me to be very close to that, which I am. This is great fun, and I can only confirm that everybody speaks to everybody. And these are interesting times in this industry. I think results will take a moment, but when they come out, I think they will be intriguing for everybody, because this is an exciting development.
Okay, thank you very much for the clarification. I'm going back to the queue.
The next question comes from Tim Schultz. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. I have two questions, actually. The first one is on Brazil. You had your small acquisition there. I guess it has added to the losses in Brazil. So can you elaborate on the effect, especially for the American region, Brazil is having, also in comparison to Q1 last year? And then with regard to the outlook, you mentioned that you're tending towards the midpoint of your guidance range. You've been at 8.7% adjusted EBIT margin in the first quarter, so above the midpoint. Now, I understand that Q1 had a specifically positive effect from these additional working days. Can you guide us a little bit maybe in the shorter term? What will Q2 look like? Is it fair to assume that while normally Q2 is stronger in terms of revenue and earnings than Q1 due to seasonal effects, that this year it might end up at a similar level? And also with regard to your revenue targets for the year, the upper end implies a growth of 4.6%. You had 7.6% organic growth, 10.5%, I think it was, overall in the first quarter. Now, there is this calendar effect, so I think we will be it will be easier to judge where you stand after the first half. But isn't it fair to assume that in the second half you should have some support, at least from the North American market, looking at the order intakes for trucks and trailers there? That would be my two questions.
Okay, yeah, Mr. Schulz, thanks for the question. Brazil, as your first one, to be more precise here, our acquisition, KLL, was slightly positive in the first quarter on the EBIT level. Okay, it was roughly 100,000 euros. Which is good, which is a slow market or very slow market, but our own subsidiary in Brazil, SAF Holland Truck Brazil, and I just see the number here, was minus 700,000 euros. So overall, Brazil was still negative, and you see that effect as roughly a little bit more than half a million negative. And we have 300,000 euros in restructuring costs booked in the first quarter due to the plant consolidation, as I mentioned before, from Jaguarina to Algovada. So this is about Brazil. You asked about the Q1 number last year. I really don't know, but I would say that was probably...
I have it.
You have it? Okay. Yes. Matthias, have it. Ah, you see the CFO.
That's what I'm there for. It was a minus 0.4 million last year.
How much?
Minus 0.4.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah, but of course this is not including the KLL result because that was not part of our numbers, just to avoid any confusion on that one.
Yeah. So, and just to add some flavor here, our plan is that in Brazil, depending on the market, of course, but in the second half of the year, especially in the last quarter, Brazil should be in total at break-even, at minimum. This is my expectations here. So they will not bleed anymore in the south of America. Your next question was about the outlook. As we said, midpoint, which is 8.5, this is what we can confirm today and would like to confirm. Anything else is too early. As you know, we are in May, and with our short visibility, we are not going to change that now. And you answered it almost by yourself. When we report the first half numbers this year, then we know much better what will happen in summer and after summer, and then we will see what will be then the outlook and our guidance for the balance of the year. What was the third question?
Sorry. There was just a little flavor on the second quarter. Maybe you have a little more visibility on that.
Of course we have, but I'm not going to share.
Shame.
But nice try, okay?
But maybe I can help with one additional data point, because Philippe, his first question went into the same direction, that is around the calendar effect.
Yeah.
If we do the number crunching on our end, statistically for Europe and the United States, two more working days come in somewhere between 7 to 8 million in sales based on two more working days. Maybe that is a data point that you will find helpful. That is certainly a data point that we are also looking at internally. And it goes back also to Philippe's question earlier.
That is helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Matthias Schäfer. Your line is open now.
Hi, good morning. Just a very brief question on your plant in Turkey. So you've started the production in Turkey, and with that, I guess you increased your cost base in Turkey and that into weaker end markets in Turkey and Iran. So is this plant at the moment margin dilutive for the EMEA region, or are you already profitable in that plant?
Yeah, Mr. Schäfer, the plant in Turkey, as I said, started on a one-shift basis. And yes, we have some people down there, but it's a very efficient production, okay? That means our fixed cost people are just a handful, and the plant is at break-even, so we're not losing any money there, and we will ramp up quite soon. That's our plan. You are right, the Turkish market is not in our favor in these days, but I believe it will improve. Not very fast, okay, because the fleets in Turkey are still cautious, okay, about what's going on in the region. But you might remember that we said this plant is not only for the Turkish market. This plant is prepared, and we set it up also to do exports to the neighboring countries, Middle East, Africa, so especially North Africa. And as I indicated, we see some light at the tunnel in Iran. And from Turkey to serve our trailer OEM customers in Iran from Turkey is a perfect setup from our point of view, less transport costs, and part of this we can give to our customers, so to help them. So overall, it's planned that this factory will run on one shift this year and then ramping up probably next year on a two shift, but this we will decide when the orders are there. But overall, we are not losing money with Turkey.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks.
Good. Thank you.
So at the moment, there are no further questions. If you have any additional questions, you may press 9* on your telephone keypad now.
Okay, so if there are no follow-up questions, then you're welcome to also contact your department afterwards. We thank you for attending today's conference call, and I think we'll see each other or talk to each other again on August 10th, which will be the disclosing date of our Q2 figures. Thanks. Bye-bye. Take care.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.